Welcome to Cherished Women with Kimberly Walton. With a look into issues facing today's Christian women, let's be honest, with all the things coming at us, it's easy to become inundated with life's messiness. As a wife, mother, founder of Cherished Wives International, and a marriage mentor, Kimberly fully understands how difficult it can be for a woman to balance work, life, home, and love. Today, she'll help you navigate life's challenges so you may thrive in life, love, and marriage. Now, here's Kimberly Walton with a topic on being cherished.
Hello there. So nice to have you here with me today. And now, I bet you don't know this about me, that I am a lifelong student of customs, traditions, and rites of passage. I have studied and taught these things informally and even formally at the university for many years now. So naturally, I am fascinated at about this time of year. And more accurately, I guess I would say that I find the whole thing captivating and even endearing. And for a multitude of reasons. The falling leaves, the changing seasons, all the family gatherings that are going on, and even other celebrations. Our family has no less than 4 birthdays of immediate family members. And if you account our extended family, we have even 4 more. So we have a lot of celebrations this time of year. I love Thanksgiving. And of course, I love Christmas. These holidays, I just love what they represent and what they mean and what they've grown to mean to me as I've become an adult over the years. Now, my online dictionary talks about customs and traditions and describes them this way. A custom and tradition would be described as a long-established practice or the handing down of information, beliefs, and customs by word of mouth or by an example from one generation to another without written instruction. And I think that's interesting to note, without written instruction. So it's not necessarily a recipe that's written or been passed down, although it can be, but usually it's some sort of family tradition that has been passed down out of habit, out of we've always done this. And it's something that tends to be significant because we have a touch tone to it. We feel connected to it. And part of it is because it's not just written down. It's something we've always done sort of things. So I think if you're using these definitions where it's a long established practice or the handing down of information, beliefs, and customs, that you could probably say that we all have traditions and customs in our lives. And these different customs that we practice, some of them are conscious and on purpose, and some of them are simply out of habit. The Bible has several examples of times that customs and traditions are important, as do our daily lives. I bet if you stopped for a moment and thought of them, you could actually think of several pretty quickly. Some of the traditions and customs that we have developed over time, and some have become more refined, while other customs have not stood up to the test of time, and they've gone by the wayside. And I bet if you were to stop and think for a moment about that, you could also find some that you maybe historically have been practiced, but they're not currently being practiced. Now, these long-standing customs and traditions in our lives are or were needed to help things run smoothly and to give people cohesion. Something as simple as when midweek churches meet or how baptisms are performed fit into the realm of tradition as well. And a lot of times we forget that those things also are part of our traditions in life. Besides the previous mentioned ideas, I'm sure that growing up, your family had several traditions or customs that they shared, and many are still important to you. Traditions can give us a sense of balance and belonging. They help have a sense of security and identity and show us that we're part of something greater. Traditions can make us feel loved, and they can even allow us the opportunity to show love. They have a way of basically saying that we're passing down our values, our beliefs, and ideas. And I think that's worth repeating. A lot of our traditions and customs are a way for us to pass down our values, our beliefs, and ideas. Some traditions may be new ones that you've picked up when you got married, or maybe borrowed from a friend or a neighbor. While others are tried and true, ones that you grew up with and wouldn't even think of letting go of because they're so dear to you and to your family. If you've been to a wedding, a funeral, or a baptism recently or even in the last year, You have most certainly experienced customs and traditions. Weddings, funerals, and baptisms are steeped with tradition. If you've attended church or had communion, you've also experienced customs and traditions. For example, Scripture speaks to this in the idea of singing at church when it reads, "Speaking to yourselves in psalm and hymns and spiritual songs," from Ephesians 5:19. Think of customs and traditions as a tool. And was basically as any tool can be, it can either be used well, it can be used poorly, or it cannot be used at all. So a tool, customs and traditions are a tool. And again, just like any other tool, they can be used well, they can be used poorly, or not be used at all. Traditions and customs can be easily divided into three basic areas. We have our cultural, religious, or group traditions. We have family or couple traditions, and we have personal traditions. They're more individual. For example, a cultural, religious, or group tradition would be more big picture, something like celebrating Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday in November, or the idea of a Christmas tree. A couples or family tradition could be tied to Thanksgiving is an idea that everyone goes around the table saying what they're thankful for or getting their Christmas tree the day after Thanksgiving. Or all decorating the trees while singing carols and having hot chocolate. That would be a family or a group, a family or more of a couple sort of tradition. Personal traditions might be something like, because it's Thanksgiving month, one takes time to personally reflect and show gratitude for all the blessings for the year. Or that in honor of a lost loved one, someone donates to a charity in their honor at a certain time of the year. All three of these have value. And I could easily argue that neither is more important than the other. Rather, a case could be made for the idea that there's value in all three of these types of traditions in our lives. So again, we've got personal or individual traditions, we've got family or couple traditions, and we've got the cultural, religious, or group traditions. Now, most of our traditions fall into the cultural, religious, or group, or family and couples. Personal sometimes is the one that we don't spend a lot of time in. I'll give you a couple of examples today of those. Now, again, all three of these have value. Now, I, however, tend to think of traditions, instead of being in the three different basic areas, as more of themes. And you probably do too, because we think of holidays. Oftentimes, these themes do center around religious events or an attempt to mimic a religious event. One of the things that I appreciate about Thanksgiving is that it's basically the launch pad for what I call the season of traditions. So let's talk about some of these themes. Thanksgiving. Now, Thanksgiving is past for this year, but if you think back to this or previous years, you can likely think of several traditions related to Thanksgiving. The aunt that always makes the yams is a tradition. Having the kids serve dessert is another tradition. Playing board games after dinner. Doing a turkey trot run is a tradition. Going around the table and saying what you're thankful for is always one of my favorite traditions, albeit sometimes people balk at it. It seems like especially the teens, those are the ones who are like, do we have to? And then there's several versions of that same idea about going around and being thankful. One of my clients told me that they have a long white tablecloth that people sign with the year with a fabric marker, and they bring it out each year only for Thanksgiving. They use a plastic see-through table cover so that the tablecloth doesn't get soiled. And another version of this that you've probably heard of is the idea that, again, people are signing a tablecloth and they're signing their names and usually the date. And what they do is after the event is over, people go in and embroider over the name and the date for longevity's sake. Then they can actually wash the tablecloth and they're not concerned about it getting soiled. Another version of this is that family members write down what they are thankful for on a piece of paper. And then, and this is the unique part, I have not done this, but I have friends that do this. Then what happens is they take that piece of paper that has what people are thankful for and they bake it inside of a crescent roll that they use for dinner. They actually bake the message inside the dinner roll. Then what happens is the rolls are disseminated at, or shared at dinner. And then whatever roll you get to open up the roll and you get to guess who said what they were thankful for. I love this idea. I'm thinking next year we're going to try this. Now, we have an interesting tradition for Thanksgiving that we call our traditional Thanksgiving on a non-traditional day. It started several years ago when we hosted our first exchange student, actually about a decade ago. We took the kids to Disneyland at Thanksgiving that year, but we wanted our exchange student to experience a traditional American Thanksgiving. So, because we were gone at Thanksgiving, we made our Thanksgiving to be the first Saturday in December. And we invited our friends and we invited our family. Now, it's kind of like what people nowadays call a Friendsgiving. People asked if we were going to do it again the next year, and thus a new tradition was born. This last year, we had almost 30 people over, friends and family mixed in. One of my dear friends has experienced her first empty nest Thanksgiving, and it's really hit her hard because of their traditions. Their Thanksgiving used to start with family walk while the turkey was cooking, and their own version of saying what they were grateful for was that everyone had a piece of paper to write things that they liked or appreciated about other members in the family. After dinner, people got their special messages to read and to keep. This would have been a prime example of a family tradition, but both of their children have flown the coop this year. One has gotten married and she's on the other end of the country, and one happens to be overseas doing a semester in Europe. So their traditions are not the same. And I'm going to talk about this again in a minute, because when our traditions change on us, one of the things we have to do is we have to realize that we may end up grieving that loss. So keep that in mind. Now, another tradition that's another time of the year, actually, that's very common for traditions is Christmas. Christmas is extremely steeped with tradition. I bet if I was to ask you to sit down and write 10 traditions related to Christmas, it would take you no time at all, and you could probably write 10 times that. New pajamas at Christmas is common. I know several families that do that. The kids on Christmas Eve get new pajamas to sleep in. And so is getting a family tree the day after Thanksgiving. That's another Christmas tradition. I know several families that the day after Thanksgiving, instead of doing Black Friday, they as a family go out and they pick their Christmas tree. One of my favorites is also watching the movie It's a Wonderful Life as a family. A lot of people will do this on Christmas Eve, and it's become a tradition for many. I like to get a set of ornaments each year and then split them up so that each of the kids gets one and the family tree does too. A set that has enough for each to have one and the ornament tree, our family tree as well. You could do this, and then when the children leave home, they have a set of ornaments already. So they have their own set of ornaments that is a full set of tradition and memories to go with them. Now, what I do with this when we get the ornaments is I take, in small writing somewhere in the ornament, kind of hidden, is I write the year. I love to put the year on it just so kids can go back and they can say, oh my gosh, this was the year that we this or that we that. The first few years I hadn't thought of it, but I wish I had. Another thing that we do is we make Amish friendship bread to give out to our friends. The adventure for us and our Amish friendship bread starts well before December 25th, and it takes about two weeks it really takes over the kitchen. It's an all hands on deck kind of event, so it's definitely a family type of tradition. And we make several different flavors. So what we have is this added excitement of deciding on flavors that different people will get. So-and-so should get the chocolate. So-and-so should get the lemon poppy seed and all that. And that adds to our fun and excitement. I know several families that make a birthday cake for Jesus as dessert for Christmas dinner. And I love this idea. We haven't implemented it, but I know several people that do. And I think it's a real great way, especially if you have small children, to teach them what Christmas is all about. It's the idea of Jesus' birth. I think that this helps kids to really understand what's being celebrated. Not just a tree. You're not just decorating a Christmas tree. It's not all about presents. It really is about Jesus' birthday. I especially like it when these birthday cakes for Jesus, they look like a birthday cake, and the kids get to help make it and even decorate it. And I like it when people put Happy Birthday Jesus on it, and it's got confetti and sprinkles, all that, just like a real birthday cake would have if you were making one for family or for friends. I like that one family in our church has this unique tradition about the youngest child in the family gets to put the topper on the tree. Now, this is a big family, and it's a big family tree, and so there's multiple generations at the time. So at any given time, the smallest child could be a different child. It's not like in one family where the smallest child is kind of always the same kid. So this is kind of a fun thing if you've got a group of people coming together, whoever the youngest child is, or maybe you could just pull names to see who gets to be the one that gets to put the topper on top of the tree. I also think that a really interesting activity that we have done is the idea of the away in a manger travel activity. Now, if you're one of the people like us that put out a manger in this time of year, one of the things that is interesting is just where you put the manger and the family, but also when you set it up and the date. I've always felt that putting baby Jesus in the manger before Christmas seemed like it wasn't quite, you know, how it should be. So one of the things that we've done is we have set up the manger, and yet we didn't put people in the manger yet, including baby Jesus. We actually put Mary and Joseph off to the side and the three wise men off to the other side. And then each day we slowly move them closer. Now, I think this is fun if you kind of have mom be Mary and dad be Joseph, and then let the kids be like the wise men, or if you're having sheep or other things come towards the manger. It can be a real fun activity to see the slow progress of how this works. It's kind of fun to do it starting December 1st and treat it almost like, you know, as a family event, each day getting to move closer and closer towards the manger. So if you do that, it's just the idea of teaching kids that it didn't just happen and that they had a very long journey to get to that manger. The idea of baby Jesus is kind of an interesting one. We like to put baby Jesus in the manger on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. When the kids were younger, we would just put baby Jesus in the manger in the morning when the kids got up and they could see that baby Jesus was there. Now, we have a family at church that does this with the baby Jesus, where they actually have a kind of a fun activity. Think of it kind of like an Easter egg hunt, where it's like a hunt for baby Jesus. And what they have done is they have taken baby Jesus, and on Christmas Eve, they hide him somewhere in the house. And the kids have to go find baby Jesus in order to put him in the manger. Now, they have told me that one of the things that they think is really important with this particular activity is the idea that you need to remember that baby Jesus, if there's only one of them, but you've got multiple kids, might be a challenge. So their recommendation is that you have a baby Jesus for every child, basically a manger for every child. So if you have three children, have a manger with a baby Jesus that can be put inside for each child, and make it be each child knows which one they're looking for. And then they can help each other find them if they run across it. So the idea here is just, again, to teach the children what Christmas is all about, and that it is about baby Jesus and the idea that he didn't just appear. It was this long journey, as well as on Christmas Day, what Christmas Day is all about. Now, a lot of families do the Advent calendar at this time of year. And I think Advent calendars are really helpful for children, as well as even adults. And it's the whole idea of being patient and things slowing down. When we hosted our exchange student from Norway, we got a new twist on the idea of the Advent calendar. And this was the idea that his parents sent him small wrapped gifts that were tied on a long cord, and they were numbered 1 through 24, basically. Each day he opened the numbered gift. And they were small little gifts, but they weren't quite a calendar. They were on this really pretty cord that was wrapped with this ribbon. And I'd never seen anything like that. Now, we've tried to actually kind of duplicate that a couple times. And it's very interesting to see the idea of how it's just hung. You can hang it like where stockings would be hung or something like that. We actually hung it on the door because it had a little bell on it as well. And then each day, it's just a small little gift to teach them patience. One of my dear friends even does this kind of interesting Black Friday sales. So they can even be turned into a tradition. I'm not a big fan of Black Friday sales. It's not my thing. But my friend Ashley goes out on Black Friday and goes shopping with a group of friends. They have these shirts made up that have their name on the back. And it's this whole big giant event that they all partake in. Now, I honestly think that the idea of the Black Friday sale, which again is a tradition for them, is less about shopping and it's more about girl time and making memories. And to be honest, our traditions, they really are about making memories. They're about shared memories, and they're about how we feel more connected, how we can feel more in tune with other people, and how we can feel a sense of community. Sometimes traditions that we have at different holidays, you know, they don't really go as we had planned it. And what can happen is if you have a tradition that doesn't go as planned, you might find that a new tradition is born out of that tradition. My sister has this tradition that we've had for many, many years. We have this Christmas Eve ornament exchange. Now, this has been going on for so long that it's actually passed down to her daughter. So the tradition here is she started this tradition and now it's passed on. Now, sadly, what happened last year was our youngest son had to work on Christmas Eve. So this meant that he was going to miss this thing that we do on Christmas Eve, where we get together, we have a potluck, we visit, we exchange some gifts, and we have an ornament exchange. Now, it's one of these ornament exchange where we actually get to steal gifts from other people and things like that. So it was significant that he wasn't going to be there. So what we did is we all took turns randomly emailing him and sending him pictures and doing FaceTime and things like that. So what happened was it ended up that we created a whole new tradition. When it came time for him to pick his ornament, what we did is my nephew took my phone and walked him around showing him all the ornaments and gave him the opportunity to pick the one he wanted. And I have to say, this is one of the most memorable of our traditions on Christmas Eve with my sister that we've had because it didn't go as planned. Now, New Year's resolutions are also common. They're a common tradition for many. And we know that most resolutions are abandoned by March, if not by February. But I bet you have a few of those. One of mine is to have a theme for the year. And it's something like smile at people or be happier or to compliment people. So I encourage you when you're coming up with your New Year's resolutions to come up with something like that. And another tradition that people have around New Year's is to go and to visit the gravesite of loved ones that have been lost. So that's another tradition you might want to count on. Now, I want to take a quick moment here to say thank you to today's sponsor of the Cherished Woman Show, MendedLife.com. They offer counseling for Christians who are seeking a counselor that's not only honors and supports their faith, but shares it as well. You can check out their post titled, Should Christians Ever Seek Christian Counseling? That's MendedLife.com. Now, when it comes to traditions and customs, I have three cautions that I want to leave you with. One, tradition should be pertinent and personalized and not against God. Some traditions can make teachings of God and Scripture irrelevant. I'm not an advocate of those traditions. The traditions that are the best are the ones that are unique and have evolved over time. They're not forced and they feel natural and they feel special. Two, be prepared to grieve when a tradition changes or ends. And they will. They definitely will. Recently, I broke a celebration plate that was important to our family, and I had to grieve the loss of that plate. I had not expected for it to break, and it came so unexpectedly that when it shattered into 1,000 pieces at my feet, I literally had to sit down, have a cup of tea, and grieve. And those kind of things will happen as our children age and as things change and people in our lives pass. And you'll find that it's important to understand that that is going to happen and to be prepared for it. Now, one final caution I have. Remember that traditions do not equate to salvation. The Bible clearly tells us that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, Galatians 2:16. So when you're planning your traditions, keep in mind that they need to be something that's personal. They need to be something significant. Pick an old tradition and reuse it. Something that you had as a kid that you haven't done in a long time can be very significant. Now, because traditions and customs can leave us with a sense of controversy at times, I want to leave you with this particular verse. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His will, pleasing and perfect will, from Romans 2:12. I want to say thanks again to today's sponsor. That's MendedLife.com, offering counseling for Christians who are searching for a counselor that not only honors and supports their faith, but shares it as well. So my friend, as you're going through this holiday season and you're looking for traditions, remember, they're there to keep us bonded. They're there to give us a sense of community, and they're also there to honor God. So I want to encourage you to dust off the old traditions and to find some new. And I also want to encourage you to stay blessed and have a great day and to enjoy being cherished.
Thank you for listening to Cherished Women, where Kimberly Walton tackles issues facing today's Christian women. If you'd like to connect with Kimberly or you're interested in in-love approach or mentoring, visit CherishedWives.com. You'll find insightful blogs and videos, inspirational classes, and an invite to sign up for a free monthly newsletter. While there, look for the link to the Cherished Wives Facebook page to join their community of sharing insights and wisdom for cherished women. If you have a topic on your heart that you'd like to suggest for a show, reach out and let them know at their Let's Connect page at CherishedWives.com. Until next time, remember the wisdom of Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. CherishedWives.com.